old to learn. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can. In the body of Christ, you can, because we're spirit beings. Okay, so welcome. So the title of our course is New Creation Realities. The Bible says that when you become born again, you become a new creature or a new creation. That's a bit weird, isn't it? It's like, what, do we become a bulldog or a butterfly? What is that? It's a bit weird. It's funny. Funny wording, isn't it? But we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this teaching is really going to empower you. It's going to give you revelation as to what that means and how to walk that out. Because how many of you know that we are spirit, soul, and body, all right? So, yeah, I'm a spirit. We're created in the image of God. He's a spirit. And we have a body. This is a body. This is a body. It's like a tent. You know, when the Lord comes back and we take off, zoom, yay, looking forward to it, we drop our tent. And I love that, because this tent is like creaky some days, and man, it goes up and down, and the weight. I've had, you know, some days, haven't we? We've had enough of the tent, isn't it? So we get a glorious body, okay? So we're spirit, we live in a body, we have a soul that's made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, you all know what your will is, all right? That's like you see that manifest in a two-year-old. You tell them something, they've learned no, and they activate their will, all right? That's a will. Or you just get a mother. She might say, tidy your room, tidy your room. Suddenly something will come into operation, tidy your room. She has activated her will, and that command has come with a different level of authority, all right? So God didn't make us robots. He gave us a will. Freedom of choice. Okay, so we have our mind, we have our will, we have our emotions, and we know what our emotions are like. It's like, yay, it's my birthday, happy days. Everyone's paying attention to me. I'm so happy. I'm getting all the friends as a party. You know, and then next week we look at our sister-in-law. And what? She's just got a promotion at her work, and she's going on a cruise ship, and she's got a new Mercedes. Oh, no, I'm not happy about that. What about me, God? So, emotions do a dive, all right? So, we don't want to be living by the seat of our emotions, do we? Because up and down, according to the weather, just like seasons. So, in this course, we're going to be teaching you the reality, the truth that we're spirit beings, okay? And what that means. And it doesn't mean like, yay, like Ghostbusters or Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's a bit weird, isn't it? We're a spirit. What do you mean? Okay, so this is where this course will give you an enlightenment as to spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so the course objective is to give each student a clear understanding of the new birth and all that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Also, to define what it means to be born again. Now, that's a real weird term sometimes, isn't it? Hi, I'm born again. Yeah, you weirdo. Did you get back into your mother's womb or something? I mean, we really have to watch our vernacular sometimes out there to the lost. It sounds a little bit weird, but it becomes like jargon to us, you know. But anyway, we're all in here students of the gospel, so we're okay. We can use those terms. So what it means to be born again, and to explain what takes place at salvation, to show the student the three different parts that make the total man, that's the spirit, soul, and body, to clearly define each individual part of the total man, and to show their unique differences in how they are to function, and to show that the human spirit is the part of God where God comes to dwell in its salvation, and God connects and he communes with the spirit. Amen? So those are the course objectives. Now, on that note about the birthday party, where's our birthday girl? Where is Susan? Oh, there you are, Susan. Okay, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Susan. So I've got you a gift. I'm not going to sing because I'm not like Ryan. I can't sing, so I don't have that gift. We're not going to do it. So we're partial to Susan because we saw Susan. She was creeping over to Whakatane for the classes. So we know her and coming over on Fridays. Plus, I have mercy on the youth pastor. After youth pastoring for years, I don't know if you get a thank you. You're always running around doing the extra mile. You run them round ragged. You do all the extras. I don't even know. Do they say thank you? No. No, they don't. So we say thank you, Susan. It's your birthday.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, we love you, Susan. Yeah, the parents, I know. Drop them off. Okay, also, I'm also a parent. Okay, so also there's a complimentary water this evening for the first evening, all right? So if you haven't got one, there's a few floating around in the seats. Does someone want a water that hasn't got one? Yeah, okay. Complimentary first evening, not next week. Take note. BYO, bring your own, all right? And I don't mean booze. This is not the pub. Okay, so don't do that. Also, there's a complimentary chocolate this evening, all right? So we're going to pass that round. Yeah, if you're not having chocolate, that's okay. Just don't have it. There is no other option. Sorry, there's no fruit in the basket. Not a fruit basket at all. Okay, so I'm going to tell a little story as an icebreaker. Now, we have a 50 kg, 2.5-year-old Rottweiler dog. Do I look like the kind of person that should be walking a Rottweiler? No, I don't. I should be walking a poodle, but mark my words. Every day I go down the riverbank with my big fat Rottweiler. He thinks he's my bodyguard, all right? And I try and control him to the best of my ability. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, I took this Rottweiler to the beach. It was a sunny day. Yes, the sun was out like once in Whakatane. It's been a month of rain. So it was during the daytime and I took him to the beach and I thought, yay, great. No one's on the beach. Wonderful. Because, you know, and I let him free. His freelancer is a bit like me, his mother. We're a free spirit. And so he's running around the beach. Oh, happy days, lovely. And then just before we were about to go up towards where the car was parked, suddenly there appeared this other dog on the scene off his lead. And it was like a little bulldog, and he was just there out of nowhere with his male owner. I thought, oh, Jesus. I know I've prayed protection, but it looks like it's game on. Oh, dear, it was too late. Of course it was game on. These two came to one another, right, and they're sniffing. That lasted 5 seconds. One of them growled, and then it's game on. They started rumbling and tumbling, and I'm like, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. And the guy did the best of his ability to grab his dog, but it was too late, and the two of them ran to the water. So we run to the water, right, and I'm just thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to control the situation at all. Anyway, so I tried to grab, his name is Rocky, well fitting. I tried to grab him by the collar. I'm holding him. And the owner of the other dog was trying to grab his dog, and he's got his dog by the collar. And by this time, his dog has got our dog's ear. And in a quick flash, I'm thinking he's going to tear the ear off, vet bill, it's our son's dog, I'm in trouble, all of the above within a split second. All right. And I'm looking at this guy, and all of a sudden, I fell over. Now, I'm lock, stock, and barrel. I'm in the surf by now. I'm falling over because the dogs have bowled me over. It's not looking good at all. So then I got up and I said to the guy, I looked at the guy, I said, how are you going to get him to let go? And he looked at me, he said, I've got to choke him. I thought, quickly do it now, because I was beginning to panic. I gave a little scream. Not that I was afraid. I was mainly doing it so that my dog didn't get in trouble for freelancing around the beach. Anyway, the man was very good. So he got his hands strongly around his dog's neck and started to choke him. And then suddenly that dog let go of my dog's ear. And I put the leash on my dog and started running more into the surf. I did. I thought, this is good. So I ran into the surf. All right. And then the other dog, the guy said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, that's okay. I thought, you just go away and go away now. Okay. Now, the tale of the story is this. Many times in life, we have strongholds in our mind of things, belief systems or memories or lies of the enemy, okay, in our ear gate. All right. And we know that this course is going to bring revelation knowledge of the truth of God's word. The entrance of God's word brings light. Amen? We know you're going to get revelation, and we know the word of God's going to come in there. And you know what it's going to do to the stuff that's not right and negative and anything that's not meant to be in there? It's going to choke it. Amen? And that stuff is going to have to go in Jesus' name. Amen? Because I believe in the renewing of our mind. Okay, so we have that mind, and that did not get saved. Mine didn't get saved. Man, I was still, like, swearing. I had to get told, no, we don't swear now, Tracy. Oh, okay, we don't. No, we Christians, no swearing. All right? So it's the renewing of our mind. And it's the entrance of God's word and the washing of God's word that washes and brainwashes our mind. And our minds needed brainwashed. Amen? I grew up in a divorce background. Like I said before, my mum taught me how to swear. Oh, happy days. Boy, did I need a washing of my brain. All right? So the entrance of God's word does that. Gets into your spirit, gives you revelation. And the word of God, it renews our mind, all right? Now, I'll finish on this. We, along with this class, we have Who I Am in Christ scriptures that each and every one of you can have. I'll put them on the desk. You can get them half-time or when you leave, all right? So what we need to do as born-again believers, to get the revelation of who we are in Christ, we have to confess the word of God. And faith comes by hearing, amen? So that we confess the word of God so that we become believers. We're born again believers. Believing what? Believing ET phone home that there's aliens? No. Believing the word of God. Okay, and we have to confess it. How did you get saved? Were you silently praying in your brain? No. It says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. You shall be born again. You had to make a confession. Same with getting new creation realities, revelation into your spirit, into your heart. You have to make a confession. So these are what these are for. They're to help you with your confessions, all right? It's no good. I had a belief system that I wasn't loved because I came from a divorce background. So I had a belief system of rejection. So I used to call it my homework. I'd get all the scriptures on love, and I'd confess over and over. I thank God I am loved and accepted in the Beloved. For God, you so loved me that you sent Jesus to die on the cross even just for me. I am special. And I would do this over and over, and light was dawning in my spirit. My mind got renewed, and now I know I'm loved. I don't care even if you don't love me, it doesn't matter. I'm loved. I'm loved of the Father. You can't talk me out of it. And so these scriptures, for example, they've got, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. They've also got the scripture reference so you can do study. I am above only and not beneath. I am free from condemnation and guilt in Christ Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am called of God. I am at peace with God. I am taught of God and I learn God's word. I am enjoying the fullness of life. And wow, do we need to confess the scriptures? Because some days and some circumstances, it don't look like that. And the only way we're going to push through is by getting in agreement with God's word and praying and confessing the word of the living God. Amen? And that way we get to live above the circumstances. Okay? There's an old saying in Scotland. I was over there for 15 years. And you know, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get above them in Christ Jesus. Amen? And get above how your flesh is feeling. Especially, I mean, men and women, but especially women. My goodness. We've been blessed with these funny things called hormones. Yay, happy days. Need explain no more. And we need to be above that. We need to be outside of our own circumstances sometimes, outside of how we feel. And that's where we can have the light of Christ. Because it's no use us being like people of the world and being up and down and up and down and people, oh, you want to be born again and you lose the rag at someone. No, I do that anyway. I don't need to be born again to do that. We need to be different. We have to be the light of the world. Amen? And the big point of difference that will win you over and even winning over your flesh, all right? We all have bad hair days, all of us. Nobody's perfect, not even me, all right? We can wake up on the wrong side of the bed or lose sleep. We can be prone to being grumpy, yeah? So we need to get our face in the Word of God every morning. This is what I do anyway, and I have to do it. If I don't do it, I don't even want to be with myself on a bad hair day. Know what I'm saying? Let alone anyone else want to be with me, and particularly not my husband, like, oh, get back into your room. Go and pray. Have you seen yourself? Get back. Have you seen your face? Get back in the mirror of God's word. Amen? the mirror of God's word. Get into the mirror, have a look at it. That's what I look like. Confess it over yourself, and something happens. You go out there and like, wait, then you can be a blessing. You can be joy to the world. Okay, that's who we're meant to be. The light of the world, the salt of the earth to preserve it, and the joy of the world. Okay, so that's us. So that's what's going to happen in this class, all right? Amen. Now I'll hand it over to Dan.
So tonight, we're going to do lesson one in New Creation Realities. Next week, Tracy's actually going to jump in on the next session. I'm going to do half of each. I'll do the first session, she'll do the second session, or vice versa. And but she wanted to give that introduction. She's got this bit more of a funny personality, so it actually makes you a bit more relaxed. But just before we start, 2 minutes, Ryan. Just 2 minutes, come. I'll put you on the spot. Just 2 minutes. And that's okay. I just want you I don't need to do this, but I want you to see, because I believe in one thing that Jesus says, you'll know it by the fruit. You'll know it by the fruit, right? And I've got fruit all around us, right? Not because of me, but because of the word of God and the anointing he's put upon our lives to teach the word of God. And we have seen tremendous fruit over the last 3 years and 2 years and a few people back in Mokotani.
Sorry, I forgot to tell them, right? We're going to teach 40 minutes and then there'll be a five-minute comfort break. Normally ends up being 10 minutes because you all start yakking. But anyway, five-minute comfort break, then we come in for the second session of the 40-minute teaching, all right? So then you know what's going on.
I'm on a diet, so I was actually really savouring that chocolate. And now I have to eat it fast. I don't know who's going to do this, but I met Danny at a crucial point in my walk. I've been in church since I came back to the Lord when I was 21. I was born again when I was young. Did what everyone does. But I had never been discipled properly, I found out later. Like last year, I was like, now that I've been discipled by somebody and under good teaching, I'd always had pastors and I'd discipled a lot of people, young people, but I figured out that I'd never been discipled. This new creation word and the other classes that Dan's taught me and Trace, just the way they live their life and the language they speak, has truly changed my life. And every person, particularly the boys that we kick around with, all of them that have grasped onto this word have been absolutely transformed and changed. And I believe this word has given me the tools that are beginning to launch me into where God wants me to be in terms of ministry and how he wants me to affect the world around me. I don't know, hopefully God would have bought somebody else, but he didn't have to, he bought Dan. I actually don't know if I'd be anywhere near the place that I'm at today without these tools about knowing who I am in Christ and my identity. So it's been an absolute amazing journey, a blessing, strength to strength, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Hey, good worship tonight too, bro. I was hoping for an opportunity to share this tonight, and I just thought it was worth doing. I was talking to a good friend of mine who has been in the church for many years, part of the foundation, part of the furniture, just part of just what we do. And I'd seen a tremendous change in this person's life over the last maybe 6 months or a year. And I was and a lot of things being unlocked in the way of gifting. You know, stuff that we talk about that we're like, that would be pretty awesome if that got unlocked in my life. And you know, we were talking about some of the things that the Lord had been showing this person and what they were going through and the gifts that they had. And I'm like, and she goes, well, this all came about through Danny's teaching. And it was like, You know, I was like more excited then to come on Wednesday night and to see what God wanted to do. So heavy expectations. I put the full weight of expectation of the future of what God wants to do upon you, bro.
There you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, buddy. Well, I know that I'm the vessel, but I know it's the Holy Spirit. I know it's God, the Holy Spirit. I know it's Jesus. I know it's the Word. You know, so just before we begin, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you again tonight, and I just love you and thank you for your calling and your anointing, Lord. I know, Lord, it's the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage and lifts the burdens from the people's shoulders, Lord. I know it's the anointing that brings, Lord God, revelation and wisdom, because Holy Spirit, I know that you are the anointing. And I thank you for coming into this place this night and bringing wisdom and revelation to who we are in Christ Jesus, and all about this character and all about this beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he's done with inside of us. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding. And Father, we just receive and acknowledge that anointing now to impart in Jesus' name. Okay. A couple of things just before we just jump into it. In the church, over the years that I've been around in Scotland and even in New Zealand and different places, I've been in Nigeria and different places, I've been around a bit. But what I've seen is this, that you talk to most people, right, and we talk about the greatness of God and the awesomeness of God and the bigness of God and all things are possible to God, and all of those things are absolutely true, because that's who he is. He's awesome, he's all-powerful, he's almighty, he's great. I mean, even the world will, I mean, if they believe in God, even without knowing God, they know that he's God and he's great. But this teaching, what God has shown me over the years is this. God wants to reveal how great he is, but he wants to reveal how great he is in you. In you. Do you get that? That's the difference. Our God wants to release in you his greatness. And that's what the Bible talks about. It says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So God is looking for the revelation. That's why the Apostle Paul was always praying, praise the Lord, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, the hope of his calling, of the riches of his glory, of his inheritance, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. In the saints, there's a riches, there's glory within sight of us. We are vessels of living treasure that we have not even tapped into. We've not even tapped into. So Jesus even talks about, and Paul talks about in Romans, it says the sons of God shall be led by the Spirit of God, but it also says that they're waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Well, let me ask you a question right now. Are you a son of God? Right now we're the son of God, right? The truth of the matter is, right now you're the son of God, right? That means female and male, right? Sons of God, female and males. Sons, we are the sons of God right now. But the scripture says the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That what does that mean? The manifestations of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that he can manifest his glory. That when you're in the supermarkets, when you're in different situations, that the wisdom of God will come up from inside of you and you will answer the situations, that you will deal with situations that come up against you. Would it be demonic, whatever it may be in your life, you will deal with it. But many times the church has sat back and this is what's happened. They're going, well, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, God will deal with it. And God is looking and going down and he's going, listen, son, I've already dealt with it at Calvary. I've already dealt with it, Calvary. I've already defeated the devil for you. I've already defeated and made every situation and every opportunity for you. Yep, if you've got phones, you're welcome to record this. I know, but the church is recording it, so that's all good. So the reality is God, yes, is in heaven. Yes, he's looking down on his sons and his daughters, but he's saying to us this. He's saying it's time for the church to rise up and take their place in society, and take their dominion, so that we can be the light of the world, and we can be the salt of the earth. That they're waiting. They're waiting for the sons of God. They're waiting for the manifestations of God's glory within our life. You know, we're always talking about, over the years, about, you know, the great men of God, the Smith Wigglesworths, right? You know, all the great, you know, apostles of faith over the years that's went before us, right? But the reality is, people, they ain't here. They ain't here. So God needs the people here on earth. He wants to manifest the people that's on this earth. He wants to manifest. He's no respecter of persons. Sometimes we look at men of God's lives in the past with a great honor, and you look at it and you think, no, God's no respecter of persons. But it's all about how much will we give. how much will we pursue? How much will we penetrate God? How much we will penetrate the Word? Listen, the Word of God, the Word of God, I know there's an anointing upon me to teach, but I know the anointing is on the Word. The anointing is on the Word. That's why they've tried to burn this Bible. That's why they've tried to take the Bible out of schools. I mean, in America, we look at the state in America just now, you know, they talk about, you know, where's your God and all these things that are happening. Hey, buddy, you took God out of the schools. You stopped prayer in the schools, right? You've taken God out of the schools. You've taken prayer out of the school. You've taken the Bible out of schools. And now what you've got? Humanism, right? Humanistic thinking. And now you've got, instead of the Bible, you've got these machines, you know, electronic machines, like detecting if they've got metal on them or guns on them. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God in our lives so it's so manifest and so empowered in our life. This is the only thing that will transform and change you. Not people's opinions. Not my opinions. The Word is the only thing that will transform your life from glory to glory, from righteousness to righteousness, from faith to faith. Amen? Okay, so let's get into it. So New Creation Realities, Lesson 1, Introduction. There is much confusion and misunderstanding about what takes place at salvation. Many wrong assumptions have led many down paths of disappointment and defeat into wrong doctrines. In this course, we will establish a line-upon-line progression of what takes place in life of a person who receives Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and how to move in the plans that God has for our lives. So God wants us to move in the plans that he has for our life. But we're going to look at two things tonight. And the two things I want to look at first is this: historical truth and relevant truth. Very, very important. Right? Very, very important for our lives. So when we look at first, we're going to look at historical truth. Historical truth belongs to the past. Why? Because it's history, right? It's in the past. It's history. Historical truth. It's in the past. Historical truth is full of truth, but does not cast fear from the tormented brain. Historical truth does not show how to set modern prisoners of dope, sex, and frustration free from the devil's power. It is just plain historical truth, and we are glad to have it. Now, here's one of the examples. Noah, he was warned by God, impending judgment, instructed to build an ark, and was obedient to the saving of the family. Now, why is that historical truth? Why is that not going to impact your life at this point in time? Because it's a historical truth. It happened in Noah, in Noah's time. God called Noah to save those people at that time. It affected that nation at that time. It affected Noah's family. Right? That truth is not going to have the impact on your life. See, I want truths in my life that's going to empower me to live my life now on this earth. I didn't live in the time of Noah. I'm living in now 2016, right? Not in Noah's day. So it is a truth, and it's what God did, and God saved, and because he saved Noah and his family, hey, we are on the earth today because of it. Right? So, yes, an effect affected you because you're here, right? That's how powerful the truth was then. It affected every generation under it. So we are here because of it. But the reality is that right now, that truth is not going to affect your life in an everyday life, in every part of your life. So we want truths that are going to affect you. So that's historical truth. The other one is this. Joshua, the walls of Jericho fell down miraculously. The ruins can be seen today near the town of modern Jericho. Describing ancient gates, towers, and walls and its truth. The archaeological guide can describe the ancient gates, towers, and walls. It is all truth. So they can describe all these things to you, right? Because it's history. It's there. It happened. It happened in Jericho. The walls came down. Now, the walls came down in Jericho. But listen, once we start getting into these pertinent truths, into these relevant truths of our life, I always use the word pertinent. My wife has changed it to relevant. So anyway, the relevant truth. Pertinent truth. Those walls came down, but listen, walls can come down in your life. Once we get into this teaching, spirit, soul, and body, you will be able to take the Word of God and you will be able to pull walls down in your life and everyday life. Walls of disappointment, walls of disillusionment, walls of unbelief that's trying to get a grip of your mind, walls of fear. Walls will come down, but it takes relevant truth to pull those type of walls down. These walls came down over, what, 2,000 years ago? Not a great historian. 2,000 years ago. So that's not really going to affect your life because those walls came down. It can inspire you. It inspires you. When you read those things, of course, it inspires you because that is the same God that did those things. The same God can do things in your life. But we need something that's going to be able to go forward in our life, and how do we go forward, and how do we change our life by relevant truth, which we'll come to. The next one, Jonah. He was obedient to the Lord's instruction to preach that repentance to Nineveh, was swallowed by a great fish, vomited up on the shore, preached in the city, and saw them saved. This is also truth. It happened. But I haven't been swallowed by the great fish. Have any of you here been swallowed by a great fish? No. Now, you might be swallowed by problems in your life, because there's many people are being swallowed by problems, problems of fear, problems of rejection, right? They're being swallowed in life. So we're not swallowed with a physical fish, thank God. But the reality is, you can be in the same ugly pit of the fish's mouth that Noah was, that Jonah was in through the depression. How many people have been swallowed up by depression? They're being swallowed up by depression. They are in the very, they're in the belly of that whale. And all they can see in life is stink, right? Ugly things and stink because of depression coming upon their life. But we're going to teach you through this course, I know, by the Spirit of God, we're going to teach you that you're going to rise up in Christ Jesus. And you're going to start taking charge of your life. There's one thing I've noticed about this guy here, especially him. There's a whole bunch of them, right? But especially him. And I say this, you know, I say this in the classes. We're going to teach these classes and we're going to put this stuff into you. But it's not what we do here. It's what you do with it afterwards that really counts, right? In other words, he's got it on his phone and he listened to it over. How does faith come? He's listened to it over and over and over and over. Because revelation comes when you start going over and over and over the Word of God. It doesn't happen one time. I mean, pastors will tell you that, right? You know, they bring in like people like me, teachers and whatever, and all of a sudden you've got all the congregation going, wow, revelation, woof, what? The guy's going, I've been preaching this stuff for 6 months. What's going on, right? It happens to, I've even seen it in Scotland, same thing. Pastors are preaching word upon word, line upon line, and all of a sudden another gift comes into the body. They invite somebody in, all of a sudden, wham, lights go on and people are going, wow, revelation. The pastor's going, well, I've got an answer for that, pastor. One sows, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. That's why we need all the gifts within the body of Christ. That's why we work together to build the kingdom. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Scott. It's about Jesus. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's about his kingdom. Hey, I don't care who gets revelation, how they get it, as long as they get it, right? As long as they get it, is when you're seeing people delivered and set free. That's what it's about. And this whole course, again, is about seeing people set free to walk in who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the other thing is this. The other thing is this. We've got to always look to the cross, right? The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought we were back in the old disco days there. When they start moving there, they're giving you some moves. So this is all about Jesus. This is all about the power of God. This is all about the Holy Spirit. This is all about who you are in Christ Jesus, right? So let's focus on it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Without Jesus, hey, there's no salvation. Without Jesus, there's no healing. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Without Jesus, there's no heaven. So it's always, this whole teaching will focus you on Jesus, but who you are in him and what he's actually got for you in your life. So let's have a look at now some relevant truth. Relevant to the point pertaining to, right? Relevant to the point pertaining to. So relevant truth, on the other hand, right? On the other hand, in other words, from historical truth, is that truth which God has designed for the particular hour of the human history. This particular hour that you are in today, this particular hour is truth that delivers from the problems of this day and gives strength in the hour of toil and tears. Salvation only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is relevant truth. Why is it relevant? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, right? Even though it was 2,000 years ago, right? You can say, well, that historical truth. No, it's relevant now because people every day are getting saved when they believe in Jesus Christ, because he is not dead. He's seated at the right hand side of the Father, right? He sent it to Rehan, said to the Father, and through his body, he's still preaching the gospel by the Spirit of God, right? So it's relevant truth right now. So what's happening is, as the gospel is being preached, people are still getting saved, so it's relevant right now at this point in time in your life. That's relevant truth. It's powerful. It's potent. You preach the gospel. You share the gospel. You impart faith into a person's life. How do they get saved? How can they get saved unless they hear a preacher, unless they hear somebody tell them about Jesus? We have got to be talking about Jesus. But you know what I found over the life? It's not about 10 points to this and 5 points to this and 3 points to this. You know, you got all these 3 points. What point was it on? What point am I? Listen, speak from your heart. Speak from your relationship with Jesus. When we've got a relationship with Jesus, when we know who we are in Christ, and you know how you're in Christ, and you know what he's done for you at Calvary through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, through the resurrection power at Calvary, and you're raised up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he's made you more than a conqueror, and all of these things that we're going to go through in these teachings. When you start to understand these things, and you start to be so thankful, when you start sharing your faith, there's a potency, there's a depth, there's an enlightenment, there's a love that starts to flow. You don't need 10 points. You need relationship. You need to hear the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you the words. Now, if you're into the 10 points and 3 points, that's cool, right? I'm just saying, I've seen another way. That's how I got saved. And the way I got saved was, it was so real within a person's face. She was in my face. Her eyes were glazing. I knew that she had a relationship. She wasn't talking about a dead religion. She was talking about Jesus. And I knew that Jesus was alive because her life was shining the light of Jesus within her life because she was in love with Jesus. To me, that was relevant and it caused my life to be touched. So salvation is relevant right now. The second one, water baptism for the bidding of the old man to walk in newness of life is what? It's a relevant truth. What happens at water baptism? When you go down into the waters, when you go down in the waters, that's not when you got saved. You got saved when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you got saved, when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born again instantly by the Spirit of God. You already took on a new nature at that point in time. Your old nature was gone the minute you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. But what you are doing when you go into the baptism of water and why it's relevant, you are showing the world and you're going down and you're saying, hey, I died with Him when He died. I died because he who knew no sin was made to become sin that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you're showing the world, hey, when I go into this water and rise up, I'm showing you what happened to me inside when I received Jesus. When I'm raised up from the water, I'm showing that I've been raised up with Him in heavenly places. That's what baptism shows you. But it already happened when you received Christ. But when you go into the waters, you're actually showing the world. It is very relevant at that point in time because you are showing what happened. It already happened inside of you. But you see, when I first got saved, nobody told me any of these truths. I had no idea what happened to me. I just knew that I was different somehow. But I was still going to the parties, still taking dope and still doing crazy things, right? But the thing was, I was doing it and I wasn't enjoying it like I was before. See, because the flesh enjoys it, because my spirit was alive unto God, but I didn't know that I was a spirit. And nobody told me that I was a born again, meant you were alive unto God, your spirit's alive. I didn't know about spirit, soul, and body. I knew nothing. I just knew that, you know, that Jesus came into my life. But it didn't give me the victory. But I was in those places, still doing those things, and yet God was still trying to speak to me. Where was He speaking to me? In my spirit. I would hear little things like, you don't need to be here anymore. This is you don't no longer need to be here. What was that? That was the Holy Ghost speaking to my spirit. My head's going, yeah, let's party, right? Because it's partied for years, right? It's done those things for years. That's all it knew to do, right? What party? What party? Discotheque. Oh, wrong generation. Sorry. no discotheques now. What is it? Raves. Anyway, so I did all of those things, but I had no revelation of what actually happened to me. So even in my Christian walk in the early couple of years, I struggled, right? I totally struggled. And it wasn't because I wasn't born again. I was born again. And that's why many times people look at other people and they go, oh, that guy can't be born again. How can that then people say they're a Christian? They're still living like the devil. I'll tell you what it is. The reality is, if they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus, they'll never overcome in this world. You've got to know who you are. You've got to rise up and take your authority and dominion. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, the truth. Now, here's another one. I love this. The truth of the gifts of the Holy Spirit girds the church. Girds the church with the weapons of the warfare which can defeat any and every enemy of the church to do. The gifts of the Spirit, why they're relevant? Listen, if we don't have the gifts of the Spirit within the church, we're flying at half-mast. Come on. If we don't have the gifts of the Spirit in the church, and I say the church, I'm not just talking about from here, from the pulpit, I'm talking about from the congregation and everyday life. God spoke to me one time, right? And I used to go to, I went to all the prayer meetings. I just loved prayer. I was in prayer with a bunch of great intercessors who knew how to pray and knew how to get things done in the Spirit, right? Just, I was in there with them. And every time I went down to prayer, I always had an expectation, you know, that God would move through me, God would speak through me through prophetic utterance or whatever. And hey, 9 times out of 10, he did, right? Tracy would say to me sometimes, she'd go, I don't understand you. She says, sometimes you fall out of bed, you go down to the prayer meeting, all of a sudden God uses you. I'll tell you why. Now, I'm not advocating that, right? Falling out of bed and going down to prayer meeting. But just, there was times I did that, go down there, and God was telling you, because it's not about you. It's about him. It's about him. It's about him. It's about trusting him. I had this expectation on God that he would move through me, he would speak through me, that he would prophesy through me, right? I had the expectation. We have to have an expectation. It's about putting a demand on the word of God and a demand on what he said in his word. And so anyway, the Lord spoke to me. It was a while after this, and he said to me, you know, he says, Danny, see, Jesus calls you by name. Jesus calls you by name. He says, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And he calls his sheep by name. He said, Danny, he says, you go to the prayer meetings and you go to the church meetings and you do all of those things and you have an expectation for me to use you with those gifts. He says, how about having an expectation when you're sitting at your own dinner table in your own house for your wife and for your children? See, we come to church because we think, oh, yeah, we come to church and we have expectations for that stuff, right? But I'm going to tell you something, people. Those gifts of the Spirit are not just when you come in here. They are for everyday living. That God can give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom that something's about to happen, right? When I was in Waimana, I told you some people the story, that God has given me an unction inside. It was like, you know, don't go to the badminton, right? Did I listen to it? No. My flesh was just, oh, went to the badminton. Nearly lost my eye. Had an accident. God was trying to warn me. See? God was speaking to me. The word of knowledge was there. He was trying to reveal through the word of knowledge, something's about to happen. Don't go there. Did I listen? No. I nearly lost my eye through it. So the gifts of the Spirit are very, very powerful. They're powerful. We do a whole course on the gifts of the Spirit, 8 weeks on 9 gifts of the Spirit in detail, right? We've done it over the years in Whakatane. Because one thing I've learned, Pastor, is this, and over the years, see, in churches, you only get what you preach. Now let that sink in. You'll only get what you preach. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We want the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit. We need to preach on it because faith comes to people's lives. We want to walk in the new creation realities. That's why we're teaching it. Why? How are you going to walk in the new creation reality if you don't have faith in his promises of who you are in Christ? How are you going to have faith how to walk in this if you don't get taught it? No, I'm not saying you don't get taught these things. I'm just giving you an overall thing, right, from where I've been and the churches that I've been in, right, over the years. And I know that you get what you teach. When you share the gospel with somebody, salvation message comes, faith comes, and they get saved, right? You got to preach healing. You want healing. You want healing. You got to preach healing. Because faith, the anointing is on the word, and faith is on the word, and faith comes from that word and imparts into our spirits and causes us and gives us a revelation that we can stand strong and believe God for the miracles in our life. So we get what we preach. And I'm even talking to ourselves. Forget what we preach to other people. You've got to preach it to yourself. My wife said this. Every morning she gets up, you know what she does? She preaches to herself. There's times I went through some stuff in my life, I've had to grab myself by the ear and take myself to the mirror and look in the mirror and go, hey, Smith, get a grip of yourself. I'm telling you, I've done that. I went to the mirror and said, listen, get a grip of yourself. You're more than a conqueror. You can handle this situation because God is bigger than this situation. I've had to speak to myself with these truths that we're teaching right now. So, relevant. The truth of vital living faith, powerful. This, I love this part. Vital living faith, which causes a normal average person to rise strong, relevant truth. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? You ask many people, listen, a lot of people have got no idea what faith is, right? They'll give you some things like, you know, oh, well, it's a trust in God. Well, are you trusting in God? Well, I'm really struggling. It's more than a trust in God. Faith is a belief in your heart. How do you believe? Some people, I can't believe. I'm going to give you the answer to that. Take the word, start speaking the word in your life, and what will happen? You'll start to believe it. Why? Because you end up believing what people are telling you, right? Somebody tells you about a situation, and they talk to you, they talk to you about a person's life or whatever, and you believe what that person's telling you. How about going to the word of God and believing what God's telling you? So you go to the word of God, and you take the word of God, and the word of God gets into your heart, you'll start to believe. Once you start to believe, you'll start to speak it. Jesus says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You know what's in people's hearts. Just get around them for long enough and you'll hear what they talk about. If all they talk about is rugby, guess what's in their heart? Now, I'm not saying all these things, none of these things is wrong, right? I mean, I like sports and football and all that stuff, but all I'm saying, right? It's a truth. What is the abundance? Jesus says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So the more of this we get in us, you know what's going to happen? The more we're going to be speaking it. So my wife preaches to herself before she leaves the house. Everyone, she preaches to herself happy. She preaches to people, go, how can you be so joyful? You know, and I mean, she used to work in the other one. Medical center. Medical center. People coming in with aches and pains, you know, and all sorts of things, moaning, groaning, complaining, right? Not really a happy place to, you know, but you know what? Her face was always happy. Her face was always joyful. And people always commented. And I met people outside of that and said, how is she so joyful? And how, you know, she just brought an atmosphere. She changed the atmosphere. What was it? See, the sons of God, they're waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. She is an atmosphere changer. She knew how to tap into the joy in the midst of her circumstances and people coming in depressed and oppressed and all this, you know, pain and all the rest of it. You know what I'm saying, right? She could change the atmosphere by tapping into what was in her, Christ in her, the hope of glory, by a choice. It's a choice, people. Life and death, curse and blessing. Choose you this day what you will do. That's what God tells us. Choose to speak life. Choose to think on the right things, the godly things, the good things. So faith, believing and speaking according to what the word of God says. It's why is it relevant? Because it changes your life. If God tells you in Hebrews that he framed the world with his word, he framed the world with his word, well, you can take God's word and frame your world. You can frame your world with his word by speaking according to how he speaks. He doesn't speak the way he says. Listen, if he was the God that spoke the way things was in society, hey, we'd be in a mess. God doesn't look at the mess. He speaks what he wants to see changed. He speaks unto things that be not as though they were. Faith is so important. So you can only speak in faith by looking through the scriptures. In other words, when your teenagers are going off the wall, right, and bouncing off the walls and all crazy things are happening, what are you doing? Are you speaking according to the circumstances? Are you standing on the promise of God and believing God and saying, God, I thank you, that man of God, that our children is in church serving you and our children in church worshiping you. I'm not speaking according to the circumstances because I will strengthen the stronghold. I'm speaking and releasing my faith and believing God for total transformation. So it's relevant right now to every single day part of your life. You can change your life by the way that you speak, but you've got to get your mouth in gear with the word of God. So God created man in total perfection. The purpose of these studies is to make us aware of the three-dimensional nature of human personality. Three-dimensional. How to yield each part of to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to be sure we understand this subject is to say it. To say it. And then to say it again, we mean by this to reiterate the subject matter. We will not be repeating material as so much as expanding it. We must be sure that we have a grasp of these truths and knowledge and share them with others. Okay, so let's look at the total man now. Genesis 1:26 and 28 says, God said, not Danny, not Pastor Scott, God said. God said, let us make man in our image. Who's us? The Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. So here again, he says again, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God, the first thing he does, he creates man in his own likeness and his own image. My God, if we would just meditate on that one scripture. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. You have his DNA within inside of you. Peter talks about that you're partakers of his divine nature through the knowledge of Christ. You're partakers of the divine nature. The more you start speaking who you are in Christ, like Tracy's talked about these scriptures, that when you start speaking these scriptures, you are partaking of that divine nature through the knowledge of Christ. In other words, you will start to walk in the revelation of that divine nature. Created in the likeness and image of God. That means you have the nature of God. You should say amen at that, I'll tell you. Amen. You should agree with that. Amen. You have the nature of God within inside of you. We're talking God. We're not talking God away. Listen, people are going like, you know, God feels like a million miles away from me. I don't feel that God's with me. Hold on. What do you mean? God's with you because God's in you. He's in you. You're born of God. His spirit dwells and lives within you. You're born of God. You have his DNA. I was meditating coming over here tonight, and I was just praying. And as I was praying, I just kept praying that scripture. I'm thinking, wow. You are born again of the incorruptible seed. You are born again of the incorruptible seed of the living word of God. You are born again of the incorruptible seed. Listen, incorruptible seed, because it's him. You're born again of his seed. See, men and women born of natural seed. You're born again of his seed. You know what's in his seed? His nature. Oh, there's revelation right there. His DNA is in his seed. You're born again of the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever, eternity. In his seed, the DNA of his seed is God himself is in that seed. That's what we're born again of. That's what's in us. Born again of the DNA of God. And he tells you, have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion. He goes over it two or three times. Have dominion. First thing, created in his likeness and image. If we're walking in his likeness and his image, do you know what we will be doing? We will be walking in dominion. We will be taking charge of our life. We will be taking charge of our life. In other words, we will stop letting things roll over the top of us. We will stop letting oppression hit us. We will stop letting rejection speak to us. We will stop letting poverty speak to us. And we will start speaking to the mountains and declaring the way it really is according to the promises of God. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead, became sin, hallelujah, so that I could become righteousness. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that I could walk in this newness of life in Christ Jesus so that I could walk and be more than a conqueror. When I start speaking like that, my faith starts to get stirred. My faith, hey, Paul says to Timothy, stir that faith that's within you, Timothy. Stir it up. Stir the gift up within sight of you. Sometimes you have to stir yourself up, and you do it by speaking the word. The word has the power to stir your spirit. But the enemy is always wanting to speak to your mind, and it's no good. It's never going to work. Your background, look at your no education, da-da-da-da-da. Shut up! In Jesus' name. Shut up! Now, Father, I just thank you and praise you. I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you, I'm born of you. Thank you, I'm in you and you're in me, that we are one together. Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you that I am a new creature. See, you just, what do? You step back into the realm of faith. You step back into the realm of faith, the enemy can't enter that realm. Do you hear what I just said? The enemy can't enter that realm. The enemy can only enter the realm of your soulical being, which we'll get into later. Man was created by God. He was created to have dominion. He ruled the planet Earth. And he and his maker communed in the Garden of Eden. This was the spirit functioning. Can you imagine? Every single that says in the cool of the evening, it says God came and walked and talked with Adam and fellowship. The reason God got you born again was not for religion or anything else. The reason he got you born again and gave you his nature so that you could actually commune with him, God. Listen, we've got it. Where is it here? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and the truth. Not from the intellectualism, but from your spirit. Because you're a spiritual being. God is a spirit. You are a spiritual being. You live in a body and you have a soul. And we're supposed to possess our soul. If we don't possess our soul and get our emotions and our intellect and the feelings and get them into control, we will spin out of control. Christians' life are spun out of control, not because they don't love God. It's because they've allowed their emotions and their feelings because of circumstances in life that's hurt them, and their emotions has run riot, and it's caused a disaster within their life. But when you start rising up and you start renewing your mind with the word of God, like my wife said, renewing your mind and starts rising up, and the spirit man starts to rise. I spoke to a man one time for about 40 minutes. He walked into my house, man. He was like a wet rag. He just looked like a wet rag. I mean, it's like there was no life in him. Born again Christian, right? Been involved in dope and all sorts of things. Just no life. I stood for 40 minutes speaking to this guy by the word of God, spoken to his life. I knew what I was doing. I was speaking the word because I know the entrance of the word. The entrance of the word brings life and wisdom and understanding. I was piercing his spirit, man, with the word of God. And all of it, I watched. I seen it. I saw it. I saw his spirit man just started to awake. Why? Because he was being fed by the word of God, that who he really was compared to what he was thinking who he was and what other people said who he was. He was starting to believe who God said who he was, and his spirit was going, oh man, oh, this is refreshing. This is it. This is who I am. This is who I am. The spirit man was feeding. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Right? At that point in time, my mouth was God's mouth because I was speaking God's principle, God's word in that man's life. And God was speaking directly to him and feeding his spirit. And he was awakening unto righteousness to see who he was. And a glow came on his face. In other words, the light started to shine. Pastor preached on Sunday about the candle. The candle is the spirit. It says in Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, leading in the innermost parts of your belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's a candle? A candle shows your light and shows you how to walk. The entrance of thy word gets into your spirit, man. And the more the word gets into your spirit, man, what happens is it gets into your spirit and you start to see things. You start to understand things, but spiritually, right? But then the next step is this. Then you start to speak the word and then it becomes a light into your path. And you can see how to walk as a new creation. So when you speak these new creation, why we tell you to do this? It's not parrot. Listen, I've heard people, oh, it's all parrot. It's not parrot fashion. We are just trying to get you to speak the scriptures so that word can get inside of you. It will enlighten you. It will give you revelation. And when you speak it, it will become a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. And you'll know how to walk in life. The word does. That's what it does for you. So we've got to commune with God. We were created to commune with him. Biblical definition of death. Now this, we understand some stuff here. Because I had no understanding when I got born again. Before we begin our study of the new creation realities, it is necessary that we lay foundations so that we can build our beliefs on Bible doctrines and not man's misconceptions. We will firstly look at the fall of man, Adam, and establish how the Bible defines death. Death does not mean the cessation of life. As far as the Bible is concerned, the Greek word is thanatos. Vine's Expository Dictionary explains this. The separation of the soul and the spiritual part of man from the body, material part, the latter ceasing to function and turning to dust. B. The separation of man from God. Adam died on the day he disobeyed God in Genesis 2 and 17, and hence all mankind is born in the same spiritual condition. Adam died spiritually the day he touched that tree that God told him not to touch. Now he lived for 900 and odd years later, right? So the Bible tells you, 900 and odd years. So he didn't die, as in he died, as we think is death. He died spiritually. In other words, he ceased to communicate spiritually with God at that point in time. We'll take 5 minutes break now. I know that sometimes I get a bit fast. Is everybody understanding me okay? Yeah. Do. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you again. We thank you for your great peace. We thank you for your great wisdom. We thank you for your great revelation, again, flowing like a river, Lord, changing and transformed, Lord, by your Spirit and through your word, the renewing of our mind, the washing of the water by the word of God. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit in this place, washing our minds with the word of God, and Lord God, causing us to step into a realm that we can hear clearer, Lord, Lord, to walk with you, to take our dominion and our authority, Lord, to live a greater life, Lord, in the presence of your very being. So we thank you and praise you, Jesus, for all the beautiful things you've done in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So in Genesis, we were talking about. So death is the opposite from life. It never denotes non-existence, right? See, when the world will think death, that's it, non-existence, right? From a biblical standpoint, there's no non-existence because you're a spirit being, right? It never denotes non-existence. As a spiritual life, As spiritual life is conscious existence in communication with God. So spiritual life is conscious existence in communication with God. So spiritual death is conscious existence in the separation from God. So when Adam died in that garden, it was separation from God. Why? Because he was still living. He was still a spirit. He still had a soul, still had a body. But the reality is this, he was walking, he didn't have that same spiritual communion with God, right? That's why God had to bring sacrifices in, and God in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, you see God doing a lot of outward manifestation of things. Why? Because they were spiritually dead people. And this is what we don't understand. We've got to understand this part. From Adam all the way through history, from Adam, every man that was born, right, took on that nature, that spiritual nature of death. And they died spiritually towards God. Now, children are alive unto God. Once a child is alive, once a child is born, God gives them the spirit, and their spirit's within their body, and God's alive in them. But there comes an age of accountability. Paul talks about it in Romans. We won't get into it too much tonight. But Paul talks about, once I was alive, then I died. The law came and revived sin within me, and I died. Spiritually, he's talking about. So all men died. So it's not about those out there in society. You know, people say, "What? You know, look at those sinners. Listen, why are they sinning? Because they're sinners. They've got the nature. They've got the nature, the spiritual dead nature. They can't perceive God. They don't know God. And they're living, and they can't have dominion within their spirit. So their flesh and their mind, right? And their carnality is dominating them. And so they're just, and their feelings and their emotions is dominating them. And they're just going with the flow of their feelings and the flow of their emotions and the flow of what's going on. Their spirit does not have the strength to rise up and take charge of their life. But as born-again Christians, we're in a whole different ballgame. God requires us to rise up and walk in righteousness, to walk in the peace of God, to walk in these things so that we can be the light and show them there's a better way. You don't have to walk in these ways. I'll just throw this in. Two nights ago, we got a report that our son's one of his best friends, going all the way through school, committed suicide. Why did he commit? 23-year-old. Depression, oppression. See, you never know by looking at a person. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what rejection has been eating them since a kid. You don't know what family member has disappointed. You don't know what father has walked away from their life. You don't know what's going on in people's lives. So we have to be examples and mentors to let them see there's a better way. Took his life, 23-year-old. The son's pretty broken up about the whole thing. I worked out in the gym and in my house and in the garage. Used to work out with this guy. Tried to talk to him about Jesus, right? But he was just around with all. You see, I think I've said in this church, you hang with big dogs, you get big fleas. You hang with druggies, and this is what's going to get on your life. And that was the circle of friends. It was drugs and rock and roll. Weakens the mind. And I've talked to some people recently about it. It weakens the mind. Drink and drugs weaken the mind. It weakens your will so the enemy can penetrate your life, and then your life's a mess. And these kids, that's what they're doing. They're weakening their soulical being, and they don't have this dominion inside to rise up and to overcome. So we've got to show them. We've got to live it. It's not about just coming to church and whoopee-doo, I'm having a great time. We've got to live this here and live it at our homes, live it in our marriages, live it in our relationships so that people can see there's a difference in our lives. And they say, what is it about your life? Like, why does she always smile? Why is she always joyful? I mean, look at the state the world's in. Why is she laughing all the time? Yeah. She's laughing because she knows a greater kingdom. She knows God and she knows there's her eternity. She knows her security. She knows that God loves her. So she's laughing because she's enjoying life because she knows him. She doesn't have to look around. In fact, Smith Wigglesworth said this. Dr. Lester Sumner, who was at my pastor's pastor, went to Smith Wigglesworth's house a period of 3 years and tried to walk in with a newspaper. And Smith Wigglesworth turned around and says, hey, buddy, don't bring that in here, my house. And Dr. Lester Sumner says, what do you mean? I like reading the newspaper because I want to know what's going on in the world. And Smith Wigglesworth made a comment. He goes, I know what's in the world. It's sin, destruction, and death. Come in here and get the word of God, and I'll show you what life's all about. See, Smith, we look at Smith Wigglesworth's life. If people know who I'm talking about tonight, Smith Wigglesworth raised 14 people from the dead, one being his wife, and walked in the manifestation of the sons of God. And we ask questions, well, is God respected of person? No, it was what he did with his life caused him to be who he was. But he didn't allow anything into his ear gate, into his eye gate. He didn't allow the world to get into him. As Paul says, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me, right? And the life that I now live, Paul says, is now by the faith of the Son of God. Smith Wigglesworth. So he says, keep that outside, pick it up on the way out. That's just the way he lived his life. Separated, sanctified. Didn't let junk get into his ear gate and into his eye gate. He stayed. In fact, I reckon there wasn't 15 minutes in a day that he didn't read the word of God and prayed. 15 minutes, there wasn't 15 minutes. That's the way he lived his life. No wonder he got on a train. He could get on a train. I think this is relevant to what I'm talking about. He got on a train. Because we're talking about the manifestations of the sons of God. He would go on a train and go somewhere, and he'd be sitting there reading his Bible, and people across from him be reading newspapers, and all of a sudden they'd fall to their knees and scream out for God, please save me, Jesus. He never even opened his mouth. The presence of God that was in him, the presence of the Father that was in him, the relationship he had, like Adam walking in the garden, instant that relationship, that presence, that dynamic presence in his life, that glory that was in his life, he was living out of his spirit man. And it was penetrating his physical being, and it was reaching out, and to even people on a train was crying out for salvation. Only God could do that. But obviously he had something to do with it. We have something to do with these things. Come on, Peter walking down the street. Peter's walking the street, and it says Peter's shadow, right? Demons were coming out. People were healed in the streets. It wasn't Peter's. It was the glory of God that he was walking in. It was from the inward man. You mean these are the guys that write all these books in the New Testament? They understood these principles and this word. They were living out of the newness of life. They were living out of the anointing that was within sight of them, and it was causing damage in the kingdom of darkness. Is the church causing damage in the kingdom of darkness? If not, that's what we're about. We want to, because this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of darkness. So it's still the same purpose. For this purpose, Jesus wants to manifest to destroy the works of darkness in people's lives. Amen. Come on, Dan, move. Hallelujah. Where am I now? Lost my place. Okay. So separation from God, we're talking about conscious existence, communication with God, or death, conscious existence, separation from God. The Greek word apothesiko means to die off or out. Die off or out. It is used of the separation of the soul from the body, i.e. the natural death of the human beings, etc. Matthew 9:24, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. Right? So you read that story. Make room, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Everybody ran about her, saw she was dead. He said, she's sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Romans 7:2 says, for the woman who was a husband is bound by the law, her husband, as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, he is released from the law of her husband. Dies, right? So we're talking about, it's not total death. It's separation from the body. And that's why he says that she's not dead. That's why you've probably heard of many people over the time who have prayed for people and they've called their spirit back into their body. Called their spirit back into their body. I knew a guy personally once. The guy was an evangelist, traveled all over America, this guy. Traveled all over America, an evangelist guy. And, powerful signs and wonders and miracles. This guy just walked in this stuff, right? But traveled, had a bus, him and his wife traveled over to America. Anyway, the bus broke down and he was tired and he should have listened to his wife, right? Wife was trying to tell him, you're tired, you're da-da-da-da, na-na-na-na. Kept on going. Anyway, something happened. He gets out the bus, he's under the bus and he unscrews a screw where the brakes is. It was something like 900 pound per square inch or something, whatever. This thing popped off and smacked him in the head, cracked his skull wide open, right over the top. He's lying there, right? He's dead. She comes flying out the bus. This is his wife. This is what I'm talking about, dominion, right? Dominion. These two walked in dominion of who they were in Christ Jesus. She comes out, she drags him out under the bus, right? He tells the story. He tells the story. And he says, and this is where he got a great revelation. And this is a great revelation right now. Listen to this. Once you're out the body, you no longer have dominion. Dominion's for this earth. Right? He's with the body. His spirit has left his body and he's looking at his body on the ground. He's looking at his body on the ground and she pulls him out and she is commanding his spirit to come back into his body. As he's hearing this and he's watching it and he's watching his wife talking to him, right? And he says all of a sudden, he came back into his body and all of a sudden, here comes the pain. Here comes the pain. And anyway, God down the road, God healed him, right? And he's still preaching the gospel today. But hey, revelation, he's a spirit. He's out of his body and he's looking at his body down there on the ground and she commanded her spirit to come into his body. She took him. Same with Miss Wiggly. His wife dies, gets him up. Hey, come back, right? She opens her eyes and she goes, Smith, it's time for me to go. Let me go. That's what she says to him. The doctors were beside themselves. Smith Wigglesworth, his wife, she died. And he gets them pushed up against, slays in the wall, and doctors go, wow, crazy. Three times, picks her up, and all of a sudden she stood up, and she looked up, and she goes, Smith, it's time for me to go. Let me go. He says, okay. And she went. She went. So there's dominion in things that we're not even tapping into. Because there's this dominion life that's within us that we need to start by. It's got to be by revelation. These guys had it by revelation. And that's why it's line upon line and precept upon precept. And that's why we say, when you get these classes, go over the stuff. I mean, how many times you get manuals and you just throw it aside when you've done a course? This isn't one of those courses, people, I'm telling you. Take this manual, get these scriptures and feed yourself and you'll see your transformation within your life. So let's move on. The fall of mankind. So all who descended from Adam not only die physically owing to sin, but are in the same state, separation from God. Unbelievers who die as such remain in the eternal separation from God. Right? Because they're unbelievers. They wouldn't let Christ into their life. The fall of mankind. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Adam lived in perfect harmony with himself, his environment, and God. His body was in unison with the earth from which it came. His soul was in unison with his spirit that directed him, and his spirit was in unison with God who created the total man. You see? Now look at that part there. His soul was in unison with the spirit that directed him. Man is supposed to be, your life is supposed to be directed from your spirit, not from your soul. Your soul can be up and down like a yo-yo. Emotions, will, and intellect. It can be up and down. Feelings. We are supposed to direct our life from our spirit. And we can direct our life from our spirit when the word gets in there. No, we won't go there. Adam lived a perfect harmonic life, right, with spirit, soul, and body. Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, greatest desire was to destroy man's relationship with God, right? Because what? Because he got kicked out of heaven because of his pride. You can read that in Isaiah 12. So he tempted the woman first. Satan tempted Eve through the three areas of her being, right? In fact, let me just say this. I go back for a second. You know, in the Garden of Eden, I think I actually told the boys, I never forgot this. Actually, it was by revelation. It was like, it was powerful. I was talking about having, when God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the earth and the whole thing, right? The whole shebang. God gave man dominion, right? Isn't it funny how men today, that the earth has taken dominion over man? They're smoking weed. They're smoking pot. They're taking all the stuff from the ground, whatever, turning it into drink, alcohol, whatever they're doing, right? And it's taking charge of their lives. It was by revelation when I spoke that one, it just came right out. The earth has taken dominion over man's life instead of God taking dominion over the earth. They're smoking the weed, and that weed is destroying their lives. Because once they get their mind, their will weakened, Satan has access. I've been in that world. It's a dark, horrible, ugly world, and it's demonic. So Genesis 3 and 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God said that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? He's always trying to confuse you. Did God, he's always trying to bring a negative thing when God tells you something positive. This was Satan's appeal to the body of Eve, of her appetite, right? Because he talked about the tree, taking the fruit. I mean, I don't know about you, Pastor. I know I've heard over the years people talking about, about this apple, but I've never ever read anything about an apple in Genesis. It talks about fruit, right? But I've never read anything about an apple. So anyway, that was just a side thought. This was Satan's appeal to the body, Eve, her appetite, right? So he appeals to the body. Genesis 3:4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, right? This was an appeal to her soul, of Eve, to her reason, to her thinking, to her willpower. You see, the reasoning realm is of the soul. It's of the soulical man. When you reason, when God tells you something and your soul tries to reason you out of it, that's your soul. See, that's how you can start to tell. That's what we're trying to teach you, right? Spirit, soul, and body. When your reasoning realm is your soulical reason. You need your reason realm when you're at school, right? And there's a bus standing in front of you and a big truck coming towards you. You better allow your reason realm. Hey, get out the road because don't listen to your reason. You're going to be dead, Fred, right? So there's times to listen to reason, but when it comes to the things of God, right, and God is speaking to you, God goes way beyond our reason. Way beyond. So he's now trying to appeal to her reasoning realm. Oh, Genesis 3:5. For God knows that in the day that you eat of the tree, your eyes, you'll be open, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now that really amazes me when I read that. He's telling her, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. Hold on a minute. Genesis 1 and 26 says, they were created in the likeness and the image of God. Right? They were already like God because they had God's nature. They had the DNA of God. Right? And he's coming along. See how Satan works? Takes half-truths and half-scriptures and tries to come along and use scripture. He did it with Jesus, trying to quote the scriptures to Jesus. He comes along and tries to. That's why we've got to know the word. No, Genesis 1 says they were created in the likeness and image of God. This was Satan's appeal to her spirit, her consciousness, or intuition, to her relationship with God. But she was already divinely in relationship with God. Eve responded with the body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Genesis 6, 3 and 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw. What happens when you're looking at a shop? Come on, you're looking at a cookie shop, right? You're standing there, all of a sudden, the saliva starts, jumping in your mouth, and you're looking at these, oh man, that cream, right? You start to sense it, you start to feel it, and all of a sudden, you start reasoning things. Like, oh, that's the next one, you're in that cookie shop and taking me, right? That's how it works. So he's got to put things before the eyes. Why do you think the world is putting all these things in men's eyes and all these advertisements and the way that all these things are happening in life about pornography and all that? Why is men getting bombarded with that stuff? Why? Because if it gets put before their eyes, he grabs a hold of their life. Nothing's changed. Same thing in the garden here. He's doing the same things today. Putting things before our eyes and our soul command is grabbing a hold of it. So the physical part of Eve surrendered to Satan, her appetite. The eyes are the windows of the soul. The eyes are the window of the soul. Her mind had reasoned the matter. Her emotions had accepted that. Her will made her determined to eat. This was a strike at her spirit to compete with God. From this, we see that Eve fell three ways, by spirit, soul, and body. right? Spiritual death came through Adam. Many times you ask people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they question the need by saying things like, I've always been a good person, or I've never done any harm to anyone, and such statements. The truth of the matter is that that doesn't matter what kind of person we are. We have been separated from God through the sin of Adam on behalf of mankind. And that's the truth that we need to tell them. Because you get many people say, oh, I'm a nice person. It's got nothing to do. Listen, if you could get saved by being a nice person, Jesus wouldn't have to go to the cross. Right? Adam died spiritually, and from Adam's seed, the whole of mankind died spiritually. So we come from that very seed all the way through. We're talking about before we knew Jesus, right? Spiritually. All through one man's sin, all men entered into death. Separation from God. Here it's here. Romans 5 and 12. Verse 12 and 14 and 15 says, therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin. Now remember, keep in mind what death means, right? Separation from God, right? Relationship with God. Death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So what it's saying is Adam transgressed a commandment from God, and even though that mankind didn't transgress that same commandment Adam did, they still died because they're all born from that seed of Adam. So it's him that transgressed, right, from the commandment of God. So when you get to heaven, you can have a chat with Adam for all the problems you've had in this earth, right? Because, you know, he had part to do with us. So, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who's a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, now the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, right, which was Adam, the first Adam, that's why they call it the first Adam, and Jesus was the second Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto many. So through one man, all died. But the minute we accept Christ, that grace and that gift comes into our life and we spiritually become alive again. Verse 14 of the Amplified says this, yet death held sway from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command as Adam did. This spiritual death or separation is passed on to all mankind. It reigned from Adam to Moses. Therefore, mankind is in a fallen state spiritually because of Adam. So that's why they sin, because they have the spiritual separation from God. They have a sinful nature, and they do what they do. Spiritual life comes through Jesus Christ. Now, John 3 and verse 1 says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a classic example of a religious person, yet Jesus said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. So forget about trying to convince people through or being a good person, the rest of it. Listen, we either believe the Bible, we don't. You are born again or you're not born again, right? And born again simply means receiving Jesus Christ. We can change the terminology if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? Because people don't understand that word born again. But born again simply means here, right? Watch what it means. Nicodemus, he was a man in the synagogue. He was worshipping God. He had the robes on, the whole deal, right? The whole shebang. You'd have seen, if you looked at him, you'd have thought, oh yeah, he's religious. He's up there with God. And Jesus says to him, unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, perceive or understand it. You can't, because the kingdom of God is spiritual. You can't perceive it with a natural mind. John 3 and 3 and the Wardle translation says this, born again or born from above. John 3 and 5 and the New King James says, Jesus answered, except a man be born of the water and of the word, of the water and the word, the born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Wardle translation notes, water does not refer to immersion, but to the system of cleansing as taught in the word, the instrument. The word is the instrument, the washing of the water by the word of God, with the Holy Spirit as the agent of the new birth. The Holy Spirit using the word convicts of sin and the sinner repents and accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit affects the new birth or imparts the life of Christ. So somebody told you about Jesus, like me, right? Holy Spirit was waiting. Like in Genesis 1, waiting to go into operation, right? He's waiting for the spoken word. Holy Spirit is always waiting for the spoken word. Not going to give them your opinions. And even, listen, even testimony sometimes, you know, Paul gave a lot of testimony to Agrippa, right? And talked about, and like, you know, there wasn't great results from that, even from that. Look at it in the book of Acts, right? But then Paul obviously grew from that point onwards. And you see Paul then starts talking about Christ and him risen and always talking about Christ Jesus. It's talking about Christ and the risen Savior, and he is the one who died at Calvary and took our sin, bringing faith to the hearts to know that they need a Savior. What happens is, Holy Spirit's waiting. Holy Spirit's waiting for what? For you to speak the word of God to them, that they need a Savior, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Deliverer, Jesus the Healer. What Holy Spirit is waiting to go. The minute that you receive those words and you confess, what happens? Holy Spirit, born again. A miracle happens in your life. It is the same principle all through the Bible. We can take these principles, who we are in Christ. Holy Spirit is waiting for me and you to speak who you are in Christ. Come on, church. We did it when we were born again. We did it when we got baptized with the Holy Ghost, when we asked God, Jesus to fill us with the Holy Ghost, and boom, Holy Spirit comes, and we start speaking in other tongues, right? Ask, knock, seek, and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given, right? So when we are talking and speaking the scriptures of who you are in Christ Jesus, Holy Ghost is going, that's my boy, that's my boy. And he starts revealing, coming upon you and revealing things to you. But it's not till we start speaking these things, revelation starts to flow. So verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Right, so he was explaining to this religious man, the natural birth gives one physical nature, but the new birth gives a new spiritual nature. Right, in other words, when I got born again, I didn't get a new head of hair. Right, if you're bald and you get born again, you stay bald. Right, you don't change physically. Now, I believe what happens, the more you're walking with Christ and the power of God gets into your life, I believe he helps you to basically wake up inside. And I think what happens is that he quickens your mortal body, and I think he keeps you younger. I believe he keeps you younger. Because you've got life going into you. See? You've got life going into you. He is life. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. So the more that you walk in the life of God, I believe he even quickens your mortal body, that it says in Romans, and he keeps you younger in your life. I go back to Scotland and see guys at my same age as not living. I go, geez, wow. Is that what I would look like if I hadn't known Jesus? I'm telling you, just because they're not walking in life. So walking with Jesus produces life, and even in your natural. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And we're nearly finished. So Romans 3:21-24 says this. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Apart from the law. See, not apart from the law is revealed. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's a statement that I've heard over the years. I've heard people say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If you're born again, if you are truly born again and you know Jesus Christ, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner saved by grace. You are no longer, if you're speaking like that, then you've no reality of the truths of God within your life, and the enemy knows that, right? Now, this is why I'm telling you this. See, it's like I heard somebody praying the other day there along the lines of, you know, talking about casting out spirits and casting them to hell. Listen, the devil knows that they don't know what they're talking about. You can't cast no devil to the hell. Because the devil has gone to no hell until Jesus has come back in the millennium stage. There's a whole teaching on that, right? So if they're trying to cast the devil to hell, they can forget it. The devil knows that they don't know what they're talking about like that, and he'll just come back in their life. You can take authority over the demonic forces, right? And plead the blood of Jesus so they don't cross your boundaries. You can't tell them, go to hell. Jesus didn't tell them to go to hell. Jesus let them go into the pigs. They went and ate some swine. Anyway, that's a different story. So, how did I get on that, Jesus? How did I get on that? Why was I telling you that? Yeah, new creation, right? So, your redemption is through the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not through the law, not through your good works, not because you come to church every day, not because you're working with the pastor, not because you're trying to build the kingdom of God. Your salvation and your righteousness is based on what Jesus done, not on your works. Because if you base it on your works, you're in trouble. Believe me. Because you'll be up and down like a yo-yo. And that law will click into your life and will bring you into bondage. So it's always leaning and relying upon the grace of God and the righteousness of God that you are came back to me. You don't start speaking that I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, that I'm an old sinner. No. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's who you need to be on these scriptures. You need to be speaking that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That truth of the reality of that relevant truth will start to kick into your spirit. As Jesus says in Colossians, be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and established in the faith. That you will get established that you are the righteousness. You are standing in the presence of your Father. Coming boldly. He says, come boldly to the throne that you may receive grace and mercy in time of need. That means you can come boldly. But if you start thinking that you're just an old sinner and the enemy comes along and you start pulling away and you won't go towards your Father. And even when you blow it, who cares? You blow it. It's got nothing to do with the devil. You don't belong to him. You belong to God. And he's paid for it for you. So you go towards God and let God empower you to help you keep overcoming. Last couple of scriptures. Romans 10:10, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not maybe. You will be. You're saved because you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you speaking these scriptures over your life, it's not maybe or should be, it will happen. You will walk in the new creation reality of who you are in Christ because you are speaking the truths of God into your life and believing them. And the Holy Spirit will reveal them to you. So how to be born again? By believing, confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What old things? The old sinful nature. Listen, the old sinful nature died at Calvary. Jesus became your own. When I hear people say this, something that drives me at the wall, and I'm going, man, right? Because of these truths, they'll say things like, I've just got to try and crucify the old man. Hold on a minute. The old man's dead. The old spiritual nature is dead. You can't crucify the old man. No, you crucify your stinking flesh and renew your mind, right? Your emotions, your will, and your intellect, and renew your mind. You can't crucify the old man. You can't try and, I'm dying to the old man daily. The old man's dead. Listen, dead dogs don't bite. Do they? Not as I know. So the old, your spiritual nature, you're alive in Christ Jesus. You're not dealing, when you're saying, the old man is dead. He died at Calvary. You took on a new nature. So you got to start renewing your mind with that stuff. The result is a new creation, a new being, a new life spiritually. Summary, death is not the end of existence, and the term must be used with understanding that the human spirit is eternal. Spiritual life comes only through Jesus Christ. In order to have spiritual life, you must be born again. Amen.
I just had one thing that I just wanted to, I'm not adding to that, but it's a thought that came to my mind. This can be kind of intimidating in the sense of like everything that's being laid in front of us. Like I know for me, I've known the Lord for a long time. I've been in ministry for a long time. And I hear the stuff that Danny's sharing. I'm like, wow, there's such a long way to go. I need to change. I need to grow. I had texted a friend of mine who I'd been talking to last week during the teaching, and I said, man, what was that thing you were telling me about the seed the other day? And he wrote back to me, 1 Peter 1:23, says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So we're born again through a seed that is incorruptible. And he made the point to me, this guy, he said, the seed comes with all that is required to change. That little dinky seed, it comes with everything within it. In other words, it's in its DNA to change. It comes programmed to change. Doesn't look like it, does it? But you've been born again. I've been born again with a seed that within it has the DNA to facilitate the change that you and I require. And I want that to encourage you tonight. Because I can take this stuff in and we're like, well, how is this all going to settle? How is this all going to sink in? It's another part of the watering process. Watering that tree. Amen. Hey, look, God bless you. Let's just round of applause just for these. I'm just thankful. I'm in awe. I just want to honor them. You might, probably good time, just a quick, you know, if people just want to come up and just say howdy and maybe ask some questions or whatever. Okay, also, let's make sure we get on top of it with just blessing these guys, with making sure we pay for the books and stuff. Let's not be cheap. Don't be stingy, guys. You know, let's, come on now. We want to be a generous people. So just, you know, there is a charge for the books, but it's very reasonable, and we just want to bless them because awesome ministry. Amen? Cool. So come up and chat with them. All right.